Yeah.
I like when two sluts fuck.
Motoran, what's your price for fight?
Is it fight? Fight? Life?
Finding Mr. Right.
What's your price tonight?
It's for flight.
It's definitely not tonight. But
what's
what
a price for flight?
Who knows? It's hair metal. None of it has to
Motoran!
Welcome to Respectfully Podcast. I'm Andrea Allen.
I'm Lizzie Cassidy, and our guest today is a hilarious comedian, friend in real life, and she has a great special out now called Waving Back at Trees. Yay. Everybody, welcome to the show, Brittany Cardwell.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Take your hands off the steering wheel and clap.
Yes. Run into a tree.
Take your hands off the steering wheel and play my special on
yes.
mute.
Yes.
Don't even listen.
No,
play
listen
it
to it.
Listen to it.
Wait, we have to talk about this.
Yes.
We have to talk about this because Andrea and I were at your special taping and it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And also, there was one thing you said that made us laugh so hard.
That was ill.
Which is the goal.
Yes.
Yeah. Made us laugh so hard that like it we were almost like interrupting the next, like you yeah. were moving on and we weren't ready to. And it was just the two of us. It wasn't like you did anything. Like
no.
you, it's not like you were reading the room wrong, yeah, but it was like yeah. we had to like math class style, try not to keep laughing because what you said
no,
was
that
so
is the best
funny.
Kind of laugh. I love it.
Because you said something so funny that we were like, that we had never heard before and we were like going to throw
it like
up.
Took my breath away.
And spoilers, watch the special, turn this off, watch the special and come back. But you were talking about like fuck. What was it? Your
cats, pissing
your family
and
getting a bunch of kittens, and they would sleep in your bed and piss and shit on you all night.
Yes,
and then you yes. had to start sleeping under a tarp.
Yes,
because
my parents
the cats were pissing and shitting on you all night.
My parents thought. Oh yeah, they were baby kittens. They stayed in my room. They thought, and they were peeing and pooping on me. And I'd wake up underneath it. I'd like have to shimmy out from underneath my like soiled comforter. And then my parents thought a solution was
child
to just
abuse.
Yeah, yeah. It looks that way, right?
It is that way.
It looks that way, and I haven't come to terms with it being that way. But yeah. They knew they needed to change it, but they just were like, oh, let's just put this like plastic picnic tarp thing on her. So then I slept like that for a while.
How long?
It wasn't that long. Like my guess is like a week, but I actually don't know.
That's crazy.
Long.
That's very long.
It's a really long
just
time.
Just like the idea
under piss and shit.
Of going to sleep and being like, a bunch of cats are going to piss and shit all over me.
Just closing my eyes knowing what's coming.
I don't know why it gets me so good.
Yeah.
But it makes me laugh so hard.
We were like, you know, when you're not supposed to laugh, I could like see Lizzie from the very corner of my eye and was like, don't even move your fucking head one inch because you're already...
Because you had moved on to telling an actual joke about it.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is the right thing to do. But when you're a comedian, you hear so many jokes that I have noticed in my life, the thing that makes me laugh more than anything yes. is a declarative statement that I've
yes.
never heard before in my life.
Yes.
That's
and
crazy.
The yeah. cat's pissed and shit all over me is a perfect example
and
of just like a sentence I've never heard.
And because it's like, I keep leaning away from the mic. Because I've said that joke enough. And it's like just the lead up to the joke part.
Right.
Yeah. To me, I'm just saying it like, yeah, so then this would happen.
Yeah. And sometimes when you write a joke about something, it doesn't feel like it's true about you anymore.
Yeah.
It feels
yeah.
like it's just
yeah.
part of your act.
Totally.
And I have that. I'll say things that I don't.
Yeah.
I forget are fucking crazy to say out
yeah.
loud, but it's in my joke. So now it's just the beginning of the joke
yeah,
to me. It's
yeah.
not like, but it's like if you said this at a dinner party, it would stop the
everything.
Fucking party. You
actually,
know what I mean?
I remember. So when I first started comedy, I have one of my best friends from high school. We used to like write SNL sketches together and stuff mm-hmm. on the weekend.
And piss and shit on
like,
each other.
Yeah, we'd watch. This was only like a few years after the pee incident. We were obsessed with comedy. And then when I first started, from time to time, I would write with her.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
She wanted to be involved in it. And this came up somehow.
Yes.
Like, I don't know if she remembered it or if I just
I'm
mentioned
so glad it
yeah.
stayed in the
and
world.
And this the same thing you experienced at my special happened
during
in
person.
This.
Yeah, yeah.
We like realized how crazy it was.
It's insane.
It's so
me,
crazy.
It's something that
it's
happened.
Insane. The fact that the moving the kittens to a different area
was
not the initial instinct.
Yeah.
And the fact that they were there at all. The fact that there was so many kittens that they could piss and shit all over you all night is so funny.
Yeah.
And it's like especially funny because you're like normal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But like, you know, like you don't like, there are some comedians that we all know that if they said kittens were pissing and shitting on me all night, we'd be like, oh, yes. Of course that's.
You'd be like, oh, that's why.
Yeah. And we'd also, be like, that makes total sense
that
for
is
you.
The least worrying thing you've told me.
Yeah. But when somebody who's like, who like reads normal says something like that, it's so beautiful.
I love it.
You know
it.
What I mean? It's like, it like brings something out of me that's like magical.
Yes. Like, yes.
Oh, yes.
So I think I probably begged my parents to let them 100% keep staying in my room. Mm-hmm. And they thought, they were like, well, she won't let us take the kittens out.
Right.
So we got to put this plastic thing on her. So that it's not directly on top of her.
So it's easier to clean. I bet. I'm sure that's how it happened.
Yeah.
I also know you were an animal girl.
Oh,
you know, so
oh
you wanted. I always wanted the animal in my room.
Yes.
If there was an animal in the house, it was in my room.
Same.
I always was like that. But
I
it's just
like me the
so
best.
Yeah. But it's just so funny. It's so funny.
And we were near the cameras, and we were both like, aware.
We were like, we're about to ruin this.
Yes. Whereas like this one has to be cut, or the other recording has to be used.
Yeah.
Because Lizzie and Andrea are hyperventilating under the camera.
They're freaking out.
Yeah.
I gotta go back and
having a
to
panic attack about ruining the special.
But I hear Sam's laugh quite a bit. During like moments that are a little bit like not exact jokes,
yeah,
just lines.
He was next to us. We
were
having a great time.
He was he was like looking at us like stop,
shut the fuck up. And we're like,
the more you do that, the more I'm gonna laugh. It was it. I mean, it took my breath away.
Yeah. You also said something funny to me during Brittany's. I was prime. I was already loose. I was already dangerous. And we said we were talking like briefly. Someone, one of your openers said something like about a bad job, and I was like the worst job. And then Lizzie quietly whispers to me that there's people who have to watch child sex abuse material to like identify.
This wasn't during your recording. I wasn't talking about. I wasn't talking
like,
about child porn.
You're like
during
whispering it up to the camera, like that one Tim Robinson sketch where they're in a sitcom and he goes, it's a scam.
I was whispering to the there's child sex material online,
and you're like, and those people end up killing themselves after 6 months or quitting.
There is a job.
Yes.
There is a job out there where people have to watch child porn to identify missing children. Very sad. And
that
they don't
sad.
Let you out of the job for more than 6 months because people kill themselves.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. God. And something to remember when you're a waitress.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, the whole time I was a waitress, I was like, this is the worst job ever. And then
really
I'd be like,
need
wait.
People for it.
Yeah.
They really need, and honestly,
you must get paid a lot.
A benevolent,
there is one person, there's
one
kind of
the
person
job.
Who'd be really good at it.
That's a program.
I was talking
to
someone about this.
One kind of person. I said one person. I'm like,
and
who
it's,
are we talking
and it's
about?
You.
Just give the job to a benevolent pedophile. And, but then it's like you get caught by being like, I actually don't want to kill myself.
Yeah.
And they're
yeah.
like, wait.
Like, it's been 5 years, not one complaint.
Yeah.
No days off.
But then you get to be like lauded
working
as a
overtime.
Hero.
Yeah.
Yeah, you love what you do. You never work a day in your life. You know?
So Lizzie says that. I'm already off the fucking rails. And then there's pissing and shitting kittens. And
oh,
I'm like, I don't
man.
Think I'm going to survive this special.
Oh, man.
Oh, it was so funny.
Yeah.
It was so
great.
Good.
Here's
really
the
good.
Other. So, going back to probably me being the one that's like, no, they have to stay in my room.
Yeah.
And so I kind of, in a way, set myself up for this.
Mm-hmm.
A similar thing would happen with the dog. I also did a joke about our dog named Trouble.
Yes.
My
yeah,
bought.
Yeah.
So funny.
And he was
yeah.
terrible, and he bit everyone all the time. And he pooped everywhere. It was, like, horrendous.
I was being attacked by animals.
But I was so, so obsessed with animals that even though he bit me on my mouth, like, as a kid.
Yeah.
And, like, clearly, my parents were like, we have to get rid of this dog. I would not let them remove anything from my life.
Yeah.
I was like, every time they talked about getting rid of this dog, I would just cry for like hours.
Yeah.
I would just manipulate them with my tears.
You got some attachment issues going on.
I was the same way with animals.
Yeah.
My family, so we had a dog when I was growing up who died when I was like early high school, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And then my babysitter, like, worked at an animal rescue. So she brought over this, like, adorable, like, pug beagle mix.
Mm-hmm.
And we had always had our dog, our first dog was a black lab that was trained to be a CNI dog, failed the test, and then lived with us. So he was the most well-behaved dog. Yeah. Like beyond. Aww. Like, he, like, spoke English. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so you could let him, like, go to the bathroom outside, and he would just come back to the door, like, all that stuff. And then we got this dog that had never been trained by anyone in any capacity. And of course, the first day we had her, my dad like opened the back door to go outside and the dog ran out in the middle of winter. And now I'm running through the neighborhood in the snow barefoot chasing this dog. And that happened so many times that my parents were like, this just isn't the dog for us. Like, we have to. And I did the same thing.
Of
I had this like huge, and my parents,
but my connection.
And my parents had to be like, you don't like the dog. And more so, the dog doesn't like you. The dog is like actively running away from you every point, every chance it gets. And then we gave it to a family friend.
How'd it go over there?
Pretty good, I think. But
I
she
guess maybe
changed
they were
her
prepared
name
for a dog that wasn't trained yet.
This was like a dog person. And I think we thought we were, but we had just had such a good dog that we never had to like learn. And then we got another dog who was perfect.
And may he rest in peace.
And may they both rest in peace.
May they all rest in peace.
Wait, can I just tell you? So this dog, this dog trouble.
You fucking weirdo.
I finally gave up on the idea that this was a good dog and that it made sense to keep him, right?
Okay.
And then I stopped being the one who cried and saved him. And as soon as I stopped, my little brother stepped up.
Fuck!
Whoa!
So then we had to wait another, like, 5 years. So we had this dog for, like, 12 years. We basically had him until he was ready
to
go.
He was your dog.
Yeah, he was your dog.
And he did this the entire time. I can't believe we didn't get any trouble. And then my dad finally took him to get put down. He was, like, really old and, like, sickly and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we should have done it anyway, but...
Regardless.
The moment that you... Okay, this is his final moment. They go into the vet office.
He pisses and shits all over
he
you.
He poops all over
Oh my god!
And then they put him down.
They also do be emptying their bowels.
His last act of defiance.
Yeah. This was
pooped
in the waiting room.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't like part of the death process. It was, I mean, maybe he knew what was coming though.
No, I think he was like, I'm doing my big one.
I think it's his personality.
I think he was like, I know what's going on here, and I'm trouble, and I'm doing my big one.
My final act.
It's his identity, so.
Yeah.
It's his legacy.
He's the poop dog.
I do forget how weird you are sometimes.
Yeah.
And then you say stuff, and I'm like, right.
You know, it gets easier.
She's preppy, but wildly weird.
It's easy to forget that I'm weird being around comics. Sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, because it's like...
Because comics are so weird.
Comics are so
weird. Really,
I'm like, I'm fine.
We really wear it.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're all being like, we're all walking, not even on stage, we're like walking into parties being like, here's what's weird about me. So when someone like skews a little more normal, we think they're like, actually normal.
Yeah.
And it's like anyone who's committed their life to having a microphone and talking to a large group of people is insane.
Dysregulated.
Totally.
Insane.
The number one fear in America is public speaking.
Uh-huh.
We're weird. We're all fucking weird.
We're like, we love it. We'll destroy our life for
it. It's weird to want to be famous.
It's weird
to want to be a comedian. It's weird to be an artist. It's all of whatever version of it you're doing is weird. And we sometimes forget that all of us are like,
and we're like a
covered in piss and shit.
We're covered in piss and shit, and can be a terrible hang for civilians. We're like a terrifying group of individuals.
I am a terrible hang outside of a comedy context, and it took me a long time to come to terms with that because I thought I was a charismatic person, and I'm not. I'm just a comedian. I flop. At a regular party.
I do too a lot.
I just can't
even get the motivation up sometimes, which feels like such a bitchy thing.
I literally can't get it up.
This doesn't matter enough for me to have energy around
you.
You're not going to book me on your show.
And like,
doctor I met at my husband's event.
I'm like, what energy am I going to get back from you?
Yes.
You're
going
to tell me you bought beans today?
I don't care.
But true, though, what energy are you going to get back from
I just couldn't care less.
There are people, you and I were talking about this, there are people who are so boring that they need to be studied is the way I feel about them.
Like when they die from natural causes, their brain needs to be cut open.
Sliced.
Like a wet blanket to a level. And sometimes they know, but they can't change.
Which
and
is crazy.
Like, I can't. I don't understand. What are your parents like? I need to study the generational tree. I need to have lab samples of all of your genetics.
But then they do this thing when it's worse when they do know.
Yeah.
Because when they don't know, it's just like, you're boring and at least you're happy. But then when they do know, they do this thing where they like,
oh yeah,
they
oh.
like get you alone and they go, I know everybody thinks oh. I'm boring.
Oh, that's happened to me
and
so
you have
many
to
times.
Be like, no,
no,
no. Uh-oh.
Where are you getting that from? Every interaction you have ever, oh, including no. this one.
No, you in your work shirt that you wore to the party. You're not boring. It's like, yeah, dog. I have nothing to say to you.
I love when you talk to me about Run Club.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, I yeah. find it really interesting that you like went on a date that was okay.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh my God, I could. And then like, and then they act like you're crazy for not being boring. And it's like, nothing would be happening right now if I weren't here.
Oh, yeah. What oh, happens God. When two of them are together?
Yes.
I, well, oh, oh, I saw it. I saw it.
Oh.
I was in Chicago and I was at a cafe and there was these, I was like reading and fully listening to the conversation next to me.
Yeah.
And there it was these two tech guys and they were talking in a way where I, for the first 25 minutes I was sitting next to them, thought that it was a job interview.
Oh, whoa. God.
And
oh.
then I realized they were friends. Oh. They were talking about, it was like, they were talking about like, I don't even know the kind of words these people use.
Right.
But they were talking about like work-life balance yeah. oh and God. like moving up in this tech company that they work in and like and portfolios and blah. And I was portfolio. And it was so horrifically
Let's
boring.
Do pissing and shitting. Yeah. What and then, is this?
And then it like came out that one of them was like visiting the other.
What?
No.
And I was like,
you're
you
using your limited time.
I was like, you haven't talked about one thing that matters.
And they're gonna end this trip, this like hang, and they're gonna be like, man, I feel like I really
Yes.
Really yeah. bonded with yeah. Eric.
And this is why men don't know anything about each other.
I really like this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so.
This and guy let me talk next to him for a while. And he bonded.
And also, I should have, if you're that boring, I should at least think that it's two coworkers hanging out.
Yes.
But one of you is like alphaing the other because I thought it was a job interview.
Oh, I yeah. love when one alphas oh, the other. Yeah.
You know what
That's
I mean? Like, I thought
there
one
was
of
a
you.
Power dynamic.
Yes. There was yeah. a, there was oh a clear God. Power dynamic of boring people.
And then it's interesting.
And it's only because one of you makes more money.
Yeah.
Correct.
That's it. One of you makes
one
more money.
Goes, yeah, you're actually pretty smart.
Yes.
You're
yeah,
something.
Yeah. The one who makes more money gets to go. So how are you dealing with your work-life balance? As if he already knows the answer and he's holding it.
Yes.
Until he hears your. It was so. It was like
dance.
I felt like I was like at an aquarium.
Yes.
You know
yes.
what I mean? I was like,
yes.
so this is how they interact.
Yes.
Man, that's so funny.
But they're.
Okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, one time I was on a date. This is during the pandemic, so I was going on dates I shouldn't be on.
It was a dark
and we all
time.
Did.
We were in parks.
I was going on dates with people I would never speak to, never interact with.
Would never consider.
Because they're these boring nothing mm-hmm. guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But for some reason, I'm on this date, right? And I could see it's going like that. He's like got nothing to say. He's, if anything, he's a little grumpy, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm like, we're on a first date. And
yeah.
he's like.
Ugh. Crazy.
Yeah, and he wouldn't.
You're
wouldn't,
trying to see my pussy.
Yeah, he wouldn't
Step
give
that
like it.
Yeah,
he wouldn't give me any emotion, any kind of like anything.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then I was like, well, I need human connection, and I need to this to be fun because it's the pandemic.
Yep.
Yeah,
and I, that would lead me to stay on dates for like six
Same.
Hours.
Oh my God,
I mean, I was drinking a lot too. But
yeah,
and that was really
tea.
It. That was just
tea, by the way.
And I wasn't, but I was doing behavior that would substitute.
I'd be like, this part's fun.
Yeah, the way I stayed on dates too long when I was in active alcoholism is crazy.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
But so then this guy wasn't doing anything, and I was like, I have to get something out of this.
Oh,
so then I was
weird
like,
and crazy.
I guess I'm gonna. Be fun and
yeah.
I'm gonna
yeah.
be what I want this to be. And so I was, and I was like trying really hard. It felt like I was crowd working.
Yeah,
yes.
like, on
you
this
throw
date.
A wild card into it.
Yeah, yeah.
you're zip zap zopping with yourself.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was really effortful and awful, but at least I had some moments where I was like, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But then what's so funny about this is the day was horrible, and then I saw Josh Johnson like a week later
yeah.
at my show, right? And he goes, hey. Oh, I saw you. I walked by. You look like you're on a date or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, I would have said hi, but it just looked like it was going really well. And
oh
I didn't want
God.
To interrupt.
He could have saved you.
He could have saved you.
I know.
He
like,
could have saved
so
you.
It's so funny he thought it was going well because it was completely me.
Yes.
Being like,
yes.
let's have fun.
And the thing, this would happen to me. And then the guy I was on a date with would think the date went well.
Yes.
Because this guy thought it went
I
well.
Was here.
Because I was here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I was here and I performed.
Mm-hmm.
I've like done written bits.
Yes.
On dates
yes.
And been like, whatever, I'm never going to see this guy again.
Yeah.
I guess I'm going to play the hits.
Yeah. Yeah
and
yeah.
I'm like telling a story that I've told on stage a million times.
Yes.
And he's like, who is this magical woman? Yes. And I'm like, you have turned from person into audience.
Yes.
You know?
You'll never see me again. And you think this is the most magical.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'll start to get like aggressive.
Yeah.
And be like, so have you ever sucked a cock?
I'll get aggressive too. Yeah. I'll go full and I'll be like, so what do you think's wrong with you?
Right.
Yes. Because by the way, I know the answer. Yeah. It's like, I'm the job interview guy.
Yeah, you have the power.
I have the secret answer, by the way. Yeah. And I'm not going to give it to you because you don't deserve it.
Yeah.
This thing I'm holding.
I think I'm always like, what's the worst thing?
I've said on dates, what's the worst thing you've ever done to another person?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there was a guy who was telling me that his parents used to hit him. And and then he like hit one of them back. And I was like, oh, mistake. mistake.
I went too far.
Oh, please go back to being boring. Please go back to being boring.
Did he say it in a way where he clearly couldn't handle it?
I opened the box. Yeah. I was bored, so I opened the box. Yeah.
God, I did that once. Sometimes. And the guy told me the darkest thing I've ever heard. Yeah. And then I had to like abandon him.
Yes. You know? When you open the box, you're then responsible for the box that you open.
I had to open the box and then I abandoned him, and then he got like so fucked up. He like called me later and like left a voicemail, and he was like the drunkest person, and I was I ruined you. I got bored, so I ruined your brain.
Girls do be getting bored and ruining people's brains. Yeah.
But whatever. At least now he has one story.
Right. For the boring girl he meets, he's going to be like, dating so crazy. Mm-hmm. One time this comedian made me admit that I got raped.
Yeah.
And then I got
drunk. That is what it was.
They might change life for the better.
Yes.
My life changed for the better.
Yes.
Man, what about the guys who you go on a date with them? And they start telling you like a story, mm-hmm. and then halfway through you're like, this is their only story.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's not a story.
I know.
At all.
Yeah.
He's telling me about a TV show he likes.
Yeah.
And an episode he watched, and then how he went to a podcast where they talked about that episode. Yeah. And I'm like, this isn't like,
this
a story.
Is it. This is actually
this
it.
This is like crazy.
That's all you have.
Yes.
All you have is you consume media. Yeah. That's so crazy.
And then I asked this guy I'm thinking of, I did like, you know, we were just regular chat. The whole day it was horrible, but I stayed on it for a long time and I had a lot of drinks.
Yeah. Hey. And God bless.
At some point I was like, so what do you like do and stuff? And all he does is watch TV. So I was like, this is
great.
This is your whole life.
And one time I asked a guy what he does.
Conversation would be about a show.
Yeah. One time I asked a guy what he does in his free time, and he said, nap. Brother, lie.
Yes. Yeah.
You're on a first date.
Pickleball.
Say pickleball.
Come on.
Say cards. I play cards.
Even.
Stamp collection. At that point, say TV.
At least then
I can be like, I too watch TV. But like, I also nap, but I don't talk. I don't have anything to say.
Oh, I wonder if we've had any of the same dreams.
Right. Well, then I'm insane. So someone says nap and I go, oh, you get sleep paralysis when you nap? And they go, no. And I go, right.
You gotta say yes.
Have you ever been sexually assaulted?
Yeah.
Is this thing
okay,
on?
Where's the box? Get me to the box.
I would go crazy too sometimes when I was like still drunk or newly sober and using sex as alcohol. And I would be like, what if I just like fuck this person? Like,
maybe that's
something.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And then I would be like, Of course it wasn't something.
It was never going to be something.
Yeah, but you're grasping at straws.
And it's like, especially during the pandemic and drinking a lot, you're so like touch starved.
Yes.
That you're like,
it didn't matter.
And obviously you guys know we're talking about the version of the pandemic where you're allowed to go on dates. Yeah, you know that we're talking about that.
We're talking
vax card pandemic, stay inside pandemic.
I'm in a polycule.
So don't fucking DM me. Don't DM me and say I killed your grandma. Yeah. I did everything right.
Yes.
I did pills alone in my house. Anyway, I was so, and I went through a breakup like a week before.
We both did.
The pandemic started. Yeah. So I was like the most alone. Mm. So like you fuck the guy.
Yes.
You fuck the guy because you want him to like briefly hold you afterwards. And then you fuck him and you don't even.
No.
Yeah.
Like then he does. I'm not even saying he does. And then he does. And you're like, I didn't actually want this at all.
Dude, you just unlocked two terrible memories. Go ahead. But I'm putting a pin in it right now.
One time, not even. This wasn't the pandemic, but I went through a breakup. With somebody, a different breakup, and I was sad. So I went to, there was like a guy I would fuck in breakups.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, like every.
And shout out to those guys.
And shout out to that guy.
Yeah. And he's an important place.
And he was nice and boring, but nice and whatever. And it's possible he listens to this. Yeah. Like, and it ended on good terms, so it's possible he listens to this. And shout out to you. If you think it's you, it's not you. I winked. I have sunglasses on. But I had broken up with someone, and I was still too sad to be seeing anyone else. Mm-hmm. But I was trying to be like, well, I don't even care.
Yeah,
I don't even, that didn't even hurt me. I don't even, fucking whatever.
I love sex.
Yeah. So I had sex with this guy, and the sex was, have you ever had sex so bad you cried?
Yes.
And it pointedly was not about the breakup. It was the sex was so bad that I started crying after. And then he was like spooning me, and I was obviously crying, and we both knew why, and no one said anything.
You think he knew why?
I think he could. I think he knew that
it was disappointing.
It was. Man. I think he. I hope that he thought that like I had just realized I didn't want to be with him.
Yeah.
And it wasn't specific, but it was like. It was such bad sex that I cried.
Have you ever had sex so not even bad, but so nothing?
Yeah.
That the next day you forget you even had sex.
Yes.
This has happened to me probably like 5 times.
Yeah.
Where it's like really like the most neutral thing ever.
Yeah.
And I won't remember until the afternoon, and I'll be like, oh yeah. It's like remembering that I did a chore. Oh, I did my laundry.
It's like remembering you took a shit.
Yes.
God. And I know that like men's identities are so wrapped around being good at sex.
Yeah.
And brother,
and most of them don't try.
A pretty good percentage of you are so bad.
Yeah.
It's really during.
Because there are some guys who are bad at sex in a way where you're like, this could be good for somebody else.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like there are some guys where you're like, we're just not sexually compatible or like whatever. But there will be some girl that this works for her.
Yeah.
There will be some girl that can come from penetration.
Sure.
And this will work for her. And she'll be an easy come.
Generous.
And you guys will be together forever.
Yeah.
But then there are ones where you're like, this is for nobody.
I know. I can't help you. How does anyone help you?
And to be fair, I was sad, so I was 100% laying
there. Oh, I've been bad.
There's no way I was not just laying there.
Yeah.
But also inspire me.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like
when I was bad, I knew I was bad. Also, I remember being like, I'm really not getting the hang of this.
And then
one day I was like, I know how now.
Did I ever talk about the first time I had sex with my first boyfriend?
No.
Who was a bad guy.
Yes.
Who was in his 20s, and I certainly was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Not even my senior year, fully, firmly in high school.
Great.
I had had sex once. I had lost my virginity, so I had had sex one time, and it lasted 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
So in my head, I had had sex, but I hadn't.
Yeah.
I had not actually ever had sex, but I was like, check, done.
Yeah.
Now I can date an adult.
Yeah.
You know?
Great.
And the first time we had sex, at one point, at one point while we were having sex, he like looked at me and said, are you sure you've done this before?
So we can say that because we've been this guy.
But also I was 16.
I know,
you're 32.
Crazy.
And that's very different from like, you said you've done this before, right?
Yes.
Right.
Are you sure you've done this before?
Because I so obviously had no fucking idea what I was. I think.
Sure. Oh man.
I think at the time he said that I was doing. You know when we on purpose.
Oh
you know
my
when
god! My favorite move
Andrea
of all
and I
time.
Have a move when we're on purpose having bad sex where we do girl missionary, which is girl on top laying down.
Where you slowly go down.
Which I'm sure there's
a
version.
Legs out, back down.
No, legs are
legs
knees
kind of curled. Up.
Picture regular style on top.
Yeah.
And then just lean it forward and you stop moving and he has to pump from the bottom.
Yeah, the ultimate.
And they go, why don't you go on top? And you go,
okay.
And you go, careful what you wish for.
You're going to have to do pelvic thrust from below.
You're
now.
Not going
to
fucking like this even a little bit. I think I was like, I think that's like how I thought.
Yeah.
Because I had only ever had 1 second of boy missionary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was like, okay.
I'll just lie on you now.
Yeah. Humiliating.
Humiliating.
And that was me trying my best.
I know. So the boring fucks out there, there is hope. Get out there and be what slutty. What you have to do,
I actually have the actual advice. Mm-hmm. You have to enter into a friends with benefits situation mm-hmm. with someone you like enough to talk to, but not enough to date. And I know that it's easier said than done.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But you do need to do that. And you need to be just so, because you don't want to date them, you can be totally honest with them.
Yeah.
You can be like, can I know that wasn't
and
the
try, yeah. Like, different. Yeah.
You can be like, I know that wasn't the best, but I would love to know what I could do better.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And the stakes are lower and it's fine.
It's like friends practicing kissing and stuff.
Yes, I feel like exactly.
Right, which is what me and Lizzie do before the recording.
You wish.
I do wish.
Andrea's in love with me. Ooh, sorry. Actually, we can't hang. We have to kiss.
We've been kissing and being in love. Sort of more on my end, but.
Yeah. That is what happened. I was hanging out with some people yesterday and it was like me and my boyfriend were hanging out with another couple who hasn't been dating as long as us. Mm. And at one point they were like, we're going to peel off. And I was like, you guys have to go kiss.
Yeah.
Because you're still like,
the fire is still burning.
And it's, I wish people would just be like, hey, we're not going to go to a movie with you.
Yeah.
We have to go kiss, you know?
So cute.
Because they don't live together. Yeah. And we do. So we're like, we can kiss later.
Yeah. I've kissed.
We've kissed. We'll kiss.
There was I have a little respectfully idea, which relates to boyfriend, girlfriends. If you guys want to get in the mix with this. Respectfully, if you're a man dating a woman.
Which has happened.
It's happened. I'm doing it right now. I'm married. Takes a lot of time. To get ready. Look at this. Mm-hmm. The nails, the jewelry, the makeup.
None of us were born this way.
The fake hair.
And my world just wouldn't be enough without you doing this.
Thank you.
Truly. That's really nice.
Every time I see you, I'm like, oh, thank you.
That's so nice.
I meet Andrea in my world.
Because I tried so hard. Your jacket the other day. Oh, my God. Stop the pod. Stop
the pod.
We got jackets. So, like, if you're a man and you know that your bitch is bad with time and she's got a lot of doodads she's got to put on.
And you've accepted this. You've known her for a long time.
Right.
It's part of the deal.
She's going to be late.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry and I'm working on it and I'm trying. That being said, if I am making us late, when I finally put on the last doodad and we're supposed to be leaving at 10 and it's 10:05 and I'm sweating and I feel guilty and I'm wretched with emotion.
And you've been kind of a shitty bitch to me about
it. You've
been
a shitty bitch sitting on the couch.
You've been doing this. You've been doing this.
Yes.
The sign. Yeah, looking at the cell phone, sighing. You should have expected this. You should have lied to me about the time, but fine. It's my flaw. When I'm ready, if you're sitting there on the fucking couch and your shoes are not on and, oh, where's my wallet? The jacket's in the other fucking thing.
I'm ready.
I'm ready. This whole thing was, I have been the villain of this whole story and you didn't even, you've been playing video
Technically,
games?
Technically, they took as long as you.
Yes.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
Because it's all about the final moment.
Yes.
And I have two things to say about this. One is if you're mad about being 10 minutes late, you don't get to date a baddie.
Yeah.
You don't get to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's it.
Yeah.
You have to date a girl who is, and there's nothing wrong with this, but there are some girls who are always kind of almost ready to go.
Yes.
You have to date that girl.
Yeah.
You don't get to date a baddie if you're so fucking pissed about me. I got to draw on my eyebrows.
You can't
date. And I know that my eyebrows are almost the same color as my hair, but they're not exactly the same color, and I have to draw on my eyebrows. Okay. So you need to, and my other thing, hold on.
I love this.
Okay. I see you don't have your shoes on, and I raise you. I have to go to the bathroom.
Nothing
makes me want to buy a gun more than a man taking a fucking 10-minute shit while I have my coated shoes on. I will kill you with a gun, dude. Are you kidding me? You have to, you're not pooping for 10 minutes. You're pooping for 2 minutes and looking at your phone.
Yes.
So we actually weren't that late, were we?
Well, and I think
they take so long to poop.
Oh my God.
Men, forever. Nobody takes
minutes.
Longer to do anything than men do to poop.
And they sneeze so loud and it's such an event. But I think, okay, if you want to date a baddie and a mentally ill diva, which you like that you have to chase us around, like that we kind of cause problems, and you gotta tiptoe, and then it's all exciting when we feel better. You like that we do kooky shit with our hair, and that sometimes we're wearing outfits that you're like, she seems a little crazy, but her tits and ass are out. you don't get that beautiful ball of chaos. Mm-hmm. And then I'm wearing little gold hoops and a jeans and t-shirt. Yeah. Never.
Yeah, you can't fix me.
I know. Stop trying to fix me and resent me.
Yeah.
And then you, oh, fuck, I swear to God.
Look, everybody wants a big titty goth girlfriend.
Yes.
But nobody wants to blow out 18 candles before you have to leave the house. Mm-hmm. So I lit 18 candles because I'm fucking weird.
Yes.
You wanted to date a weird girl. I won't be happy until there's 18 candles lit. You know what you could do? You could start blowing them out while I'm finishing my makeup.
Right, right.
But nobody wants to do that, so now we're late. You signed up for this.
Yes, you did.
When you saw my bangs, okay? You saw a girl with bangs and tattoos, and you said, man, I'd really like to keep her in my house. And I said, fine, I'll live in your house.
Yes.
And now you're clipping my wings.
Yes.
You gotta let me fly, dude.
It's also like now...
And don't get mad at me for spending $300 on a coat.
Yeah, you knew I was gonna do it.
I do it.
Yes,
it's my favorite thing to do.
Oh, I had a manic episode and I bought a $400 sweatshirt. I'm bipolar.
It's my favorite thing to do.
Love the ups and downs. It's also now that you've been the layperson 5 minutes. Now the whole thing gets to be blamed on you.
Yes.
So they get to relish in the. Yes. Oh, now we're late for the thing, even though we're the first person to show up.
You show up and you go, they go, sorry, I'm a little late.
Right. Right,
and then
right.
They look at
yeah,
and everyone goes.
Obviously, this took a while.
Yeah.
Obviously, it took a while. I look fucking awesome. I have a smoky eye on.
I'm the belle of the ball.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna bring so much personality to this party. Four duds who are on time
would never
touch.
No.
The exchange rate. My presence is a presence. Kiss my ass.
You gotta keep doing it, Andrea.
Thank you. I love it. I know you will. Thank you.
I'm gonna walk in my weird outfit and say something weird, and guess what? Everyone's gonna have something to talk about. When you guys go home in couples, you're all gonna get to talk about me.
Yes.
And isn't that beautiful?
I have all the weird stories.
And is it you all get to go home and be like, she's fucking something, huh?
Yeah.
She's
nuts. Yes.
And you get to act like you would never want to be with a girl like that.
Yeah
but you
like
do.
Like it's too much.
Yeah. You get to go home and say I'm too much.
Yeah.
And I like the girl I am because you're so easy and it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
I never have to think about you and how you feel.
Even when we're together, I'm not really thinking about you.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about her. Oh, I wonder how many people's minds I occupy. You guys ever think about that?
I think about it all the time.
Yeah. I think about you constantly.
Oh my God. Really? You too, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
more so Lizzie because I'm in love with her. But yeah.
Famously.
Yeah.
And I love that. Somebody told me recently that they were like with some people who were talking about me, and they very quickly were like, not in a bad way. And I was like, hey, I'm okay with it if it is.
Yep.
I love attention.
Yes.
Okay.
I like reality too.
Yes.
I would like to know some of the negative things.
I love attention.
I
love attention.
I know it's there.
Yeah.
I know it's there. I love attention and I love drama.
Yeah.
Bring me up.
Yeah.
Bring me up.
Bring
I would love to be brought up when I'm not around.
Also, it's a little game for me because it's like, are they going to say the same thing I hate about myself?
Yeah.
Because that's fine.
Did they see it?
Yeah.
Or even know?
Or did they hate something that I've projected that I actually like that people, you know?
What did people, have you ever had people tell you the truth about the thing that bothers them?
I can't think of a face-to-face example, but I do know that in college, I remember a friend of mine who I was hanging out with, he's like, yeah, Brittany always, or people always say, like, Brittany's, like, just not serious about anything.
Mm.
And that's just
so
like...
So you're cool?
So you're cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not serious about college?
Yes.
Who fucking cares?
Yes.
Yeah.
What a dork.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to say, though, so the not ready on time thing.
Yeah.
My family... does this. We've been doing this my entire life.
I have one.
And it drives me crazy. Yeah. Like, I have two brothers, right? And then my mom, dad. And we'll be like,
and
okay.
And the cat's the piss and shit.
And the cat's the piss and shit. And the dog that bites every kid on the block. And we'll be like, I mean, even as adults, this will happen. We're like, okay, we want to hang out. We have a plan. Let's try and leave it like this time or whatever.
Yeah.
And then we'll all be thinking we're going to go get lunch at 12, right? Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, okay, lunch is at 12. I got to get ready now. And I start getting ready. And then I'm ready at 12. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, guys, are we? And then my dad is like, well, I'm finishing my project. And I'm like, okay, I was ready at 12 because I thought that was the plan.
Yes.
And we're all now waiting on you, Dad, because you decided to work on a project.
Well, dads have their own rules.
Yes.
Yep. Yes.
And then, so we're all like, okay, well, when are we going to leave? Because now I need to know how much time I have to do whatever else I could do in this right. time. And then he's like, I don't know, Brittany. So then everyone decides separately, well, now I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
We're not going to lunch. Right? No one's going to lunch.
And then Dad's done and we're all in the middle of our projects.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the thing we do now that we like as a bit when this is happening is when one of us is ready and the other one isn't, we'll be like, waiting on you. And then like 10 minutes later, they come back while I'm doing my project and they're like, waiting on you.
Yeah.
And then we just do that for an hour and we finally go to lunch.
I do a bit my boyfriend hates when this happens where he will just be putting his shoes on, which is we don't wear shoes in the house, fine.
Yeah.
But I'll be like, I'll be ready. And like, you know, I'm a girl, so my shoes are in the bedroom because they have to be in the closet. I have more shoes. Mm-hmm. He has one pair of shoes. They're by the door.
Yeah.
So like I'm ready, shoes are on, coat is on, because I had to look in the mirror to see if it all worked together. Yes. And then he'll be putting his shoes on and I'll go, I can't wait for you forever. And it drives him fucking nuts. He's been waiting for me for an hour and I'll go, I can't wait for you all night. We have to go.
That's great. Oh, the games we play.
My family we had the opposite. I had a wait in the car dad.
Oh, the wait in the car dad's so scary.
I had a wait.
So
is
mine.
I had a I'm going to wait in the car dad. Oh, and now we're all
wedding.
Scrambling. Yeah. And so, okay, so dad's waiting in the car. We're all freaking out trying to get ready. Because again, all dad needs to do is slip a fucking pair of shoes on.
Right.
So we're all freaking out. We're doing everything. I'm like late for school. I'm shoving papers in a bag. Yeah. We're all running. We're running out the door. There's like Cheerios flying everywhere. There's a cloud of smoke behind me. And then my mom goes, I have to go to the bathroom.
We're already in so much trouble.
We're already in so much trouble.
Yeah.
And then I get in the car and my dad's mad that my mom's not in the car and I'm getting it.
And you're absorbing it.
And I'm absorbing it.
Yeah.
Oh my God, dude. Being a teenager is the worst.
Yeah. Growing up absorbing dad's emotions, that was the whole childhood.
It's kind of the whole thing.
Yeah. And then your stomach hurts for the rest of your life and no one can tell you why.
Oh my God. One time we couldn't decide where to go for New Year's as a family. We're in a car with no plans and we're just like.
No plan. You guys are your family's losers.
We're like terrible with plans. Yeah. It's always last minute. Yeah. And my dad's like, so where do you guys want to go? Where do you want to eat? And then we start coming up with suggestions. And then because we all have different ideas that he asked us to give him, mm-hmm. then he gets frustrated that we can't decide. And then he starts speeding down the street. We speed home. We don't even go out and do anything. We speed home, and he doesn't talk to us for like 3 days.
Dads are so angry.
He's so much better now. Like, my dad is lovely, and he's cooled down a lot.
Yeah.
Sorry, I leaned back in. But, yeah, it was like that a lot. It was exploding over nothing.
Yeah.
If there's one thing a dad is going to do, it's explode.
Yes.
And we need to start a program to emotionally regulate.
Yes.
It's crazy, dude. It is fucking crazy the way it affects the family unit.
Yeah.
One time I got locked out of the house.
Oh,
I had gone on a run and I had.
I thought you said on the run.
Yeah.
Like you the were final, gone for a
the
week.
The final run.
Yeah. You were on the lam.
Yes.
And my dad and brothers were just leaving. They just pulled out and I like waved to them. They're going. And I guess I thought the door was open. So I walk and it's locked and they're like driving up the street and I'm like, I had a cell phone back then. So I call my dad. He's right up the street. I can see him. And I'm like, Dad, I'm locked out of the house. And he gets so mad. He's a block away. He's visible.
Yeah.
He gets so mad and he turns around. He's in this huge, ugly, like red and gray Suburban that we
have. Yes.
Tires screech.
Yeah,
tires are screeching. He pulls up to the driveway, rolls down his window, and chucks the keys.
Yeah.
At
Yeah. I've had keys thrown at me.
Just so funny. He threw them all the way across the lawn to the front door.
Yeah.
And then he speeds up.
I got to see this. So my dad also had an angry dad. And I saw why the cycle happened in real time.
Yeah, yeah.
So my dad was also very strange. Very angry, very strange. So his father, who's like a war veteran, who was like lost some of his fingers in the war and like worked at a sawmill and was just a brutal adult. We were having like a big dinner my mom had cooked. It was some sort of like holiday. Something where like... we're doing the big one, right? And my dad really wants to impress his father. My grandpa like decides he's just not into it, leaves, goes, finds a VFW, tells no one, gets on a bus and finds a VFW to go to and is just drunk.
Yeah.
He's like 75.
Yeah.
He's missing. Mm-hmm. And he was just like at a bar being like, I'm sick of this shit. Man. Crazy.
Crazy.
It is crazy.
Crazy.
Iconic.
Yeah.
Kind of iconic.
Kind of iconic.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah. Diva. Diva.
The cool thing about dads is there's just no way to know what'll make them explode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And because... parents in general, there's no way to know which way. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes, my dad famously is dead, but even now, sometimes I'll tell my mom something and I'm like, there are only two ways this can go. And one is full meltdown and one is full support.
Yeah.
Last year I decided to fuck off to Europe for 3 weeks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I called my mom to tell her I was going, thinking she was gonna be like, what a my mom is such a safety, my anxiety can't handle you being blah blah blah. And I call her and I tell her, and my mom goes, I wish I traveled more. Do you want to borrow some money for the trip? There's no way to know.
Beautiful.
There is just no. Yeah. But then if I'm like, I'm in Brooklyn, she's like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah. And with the dad's emotion stuff, you can't know because you're only seeing the final thing.
Yes.
Right? There's so much buildup.
Yeah.
To get there it. That you don't see.
Yeah.
So you can just do a normal action hey, I'm locked out. You're right down the street. It's easy to give me the keys, and that's it.
And it's over.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's over for 3 days.
I never played in the jazz band I wanted, and now you cost money, and I'll never be the man I wanted to be.
Yeah.
Dude, no reality TV show will ever capture the tension of a four-person family sharing a hotel room on vacation.
Oh, my God.
There is nothing quite like that.
No.
Your brother is sleeping on a cot in the kitchen or whatever. Yeah. The dad snores louder than any animal that's ever existed.
It's unbelievable.
Nobody's getting any sleep. Yeah. Everybody's sunburned. We're all late to dinner. Yeah. And someone is going to say something that will stay in your family forever. Yes.
It can't be undone.
There have been moments where my family's been on a three-day vacation.
Oh, yeah.
That's just this has changed the trajectory of my life in a major way.
Wait, so speaking of emotionally dysregulated, you had a respectfully that you wanted to bring to the table.
Lay it on us.
I love.
Yes, I do. Okay, respectfully.
Thank you.
Man, that feels good to say.
It does feel good.
Hit it again if you want. Yeah.
Respectfully. Respectfully.
It starts to get fuck your little show.
You guys want me to do a little different, do a little playful? Respectfully.
Yeah, if you could give us another one.
Cut. Respectfully. So everyone's all on board with mental health these days.
Mm-hmm.
And making sure you share your emotions and you're vulnerable and all that.
I don't really care anymore.
Yeah.
It's actually theoretically.
Yes. Theoretically, yes. And I think that's good. The idea of that is good in a sense. But I think some people have completely misinterpreted why that is good and how to do it.
Yeah.
In a way that is actually beneficial to you and doesn't hurt other people at the same time. So I think it's what people do, and I'm talking about people you know, and people everyone knows, you've all run into these people.
The universal person who does this.
Yeah. It's it's not a sharing in a way that is not to use the word strategic, because that makes it seem calculated, but
maybe
constructive.
Productive.
Thank you.
Appropriate.
Yeah. Okay, I have this issue, and I tried to deal with it myself, and I'm struggling, right? I've already tried to do my own work on it. And now I'm requesting, I'm using a friend as to talk about it.
Yeah.
I've done what I can and I'm reaching out to people now because I think it might help me.
Yeah. And I genuinely want advice when I get to that point. Sometimes, sometimes I want to vent, but I've asked you advice and you've given me the right advice. Mm-hmm. I've been I didn't know. And now I know.
Same.
Yeah. That is, yes.
Yeah.
I've used everything I have. Yes. Try and figure it out.
Sometimes you got to outsource.
Yeah. Sometimes I can figure it out. A lot of the times I can figure it out now, especially because I've been in therapy and I have all these tools I didn't used to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
we love tools.
The problem is people who think you're supposed to share your emotions and you're supposed to be an open, vulnerable person. And then you do nothing with yourself. You don't try. Mm-hmm. And instead you walk around spewing your emotions at everybody else, mm-hmm. and you leave them for everyone to clean up, mm-hmm. and you're burdening everyone around you.
Oh my God.
And you are not learning how to sit in like some discomfort in yourself.
Yes.
And to see how it feels and how it's going to pass.
Yeah.
Yes. You're like demanding immediately that someone hears this and solves it or makes you feel better. It also reminds me of like I had this ex who he was in therapy. He was a horrible guy. He was mm-hmm. the abusive guy. He was in therapy, right? But he would come back from therapy and I would like find out over time he doesn't, all he does is go to therapy and say his feelings. That's
right.
It.
Right. Yeah.
He didn't go to therapy and get tools to use in his real life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I feel like that's what people are doing to people around them is like, they think if they just talk and share.
Like it's magic. Like if it goes into the air, particles will change. Mm-hmm. And that's all it takes.
Yeah. And there's a way in which that's true. Like there is something true about like naming what you're feeling instead
of
it. Just letting it sit there and then
fester.
Like I used to be a dad who exploded. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I used to be someone who couldn't talk about how I was feeling.
Yeah, same.
And then things would pile up and then and it was always out of like anxiety or something mm-hmm. that wasn't actually anger, but I would explode.
Yeah.
And I had to work so hard to learn how to talk about things as they come up.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But there's such a difference. Like, I think what you're saying is like, there's a version of this that is constructive where a person goes, hey, I know you don't know this, but when you say stuff like that, it makes me feel this.
Yeah.
And I can't control that. So I need your help with controlling that.
Yeah.
I need you to know that about me so that it doesn't affect our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another kind of person who goes, I didn't fucking like that.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say it. I didn't fucking like that.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And now I have to go, oh, I'm so sorry.
Like what's happened? Oh my God.
And it's like, you're still exploding.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
You're just doing it differently.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these people, it's anger is their primary emotion. Men.
Yeah.
Men.
Combined
men.
With like insecurity.
We're talking about men.
Yes, we're talking about men. There's also like.
Insecurity is a big one too.
Huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
huge.
There's also like, okay. So when my dad died, I had to go to the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
It was in another country. And everyone failed me in a sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where it was like, people couldn't come. People were causing drama.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was like, this is kind of the big one.
Yeah.
And no one showed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like,
I tried to go.
No, I know you did. And no, this is
I
not
just
a,
want them to know that I tried.
Yes, I know. And it was too expensive. But like,
I know you know. I wanted them to
yeah,
know.
Yeah. No. But like, you tried to come. When I say failed, I mean like, the family.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
But also, you tried to come, it was too expensive. My husband, like, could not take, there was, like, the craziest work thing that he just, like, actually couldn't take off. And, you know, my family was making the drama about them, and so my mom was banned from the funeral, and I was the one who was doing the rallying between the two groups.
Yeah.
I was like, this couldn't be a more clear failure from everyone.
Yeah.
And I couldn't more be the person who is going to just have to fucking do this.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I'm not gonna freak out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, this is a very freak outable offense.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
But I'm gonna keep it together because everyone else is fucking melting down. And I will go melt down at the appropriate time.
Yeah.
I'm like, and if I can keep it together during arguably one of the most unbelievably difficult moments of my life, you can keep it together in the back of a comedy show when your job didn't go the way you wanted today.
Or I didn't say hello to you quickly enough. This is the one I get all the time. Men go, I feel like you're mad at me because you didn't say hi to me.
Yeah.
While I'm at my show working.
Yes.
Yeah.
I keep it together all the time.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
hey, Quincy. Hey. Sorry. Hey. No, you're good. You're good.
You can come in.
But
it's like, and I think this is, okay, now I'm going to say something that some people might get mad at me for, but I'm going to say it anyway. I am a person who has had a lot of situations in my life that have caused very specific things that are normal to most people trigger me, trigger my anxiety, trigger emotional reactions from me that are not appropriate. And I have learned that there are times where I just don't get to say anything about that.
Yeah.
And it's okay. Yeah. It's okay. These are not people that are in intimate relationships with me. These are not people. This is not something that's going to become a pattern. Yeah. This is not something that's going to come up. Like my one of my big ones is like I get really, really uncomfortable when people are too drunk around me because I come from a family of addiction. Mm. I am an addict. So there's a certain kind of drunk that makes me very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And in that situation, my job is to remove myself.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
My job is not to then make that person sit down and understand that I am upset by their behavior.
Yeah, yes.
And it's the same thing with these people who aren't growing but are just talking about their feelings. Yes. I've done something that triggers you. Mm-hmm. Sorry. But also, it is now your job to sit with and deal with that feeling. Obviously, there are versions of this that are more extreme. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, if I said something completely fucking insane, knowing that it relates to some trauma you have, that's another story. Yeah. But if I unknowingly said, like, if I said, like, my friend is getting divorced without knowing that your parents got divorced last week, it's not on me.
Yeah.
No, sorry.
No.
You know?
Yeah. Also, this is something I feel like it's related. Like the same people will do this where let's say you've been talking about your feelings and maybe you're a little self-aware and you're like, oh, it turns out I need a lot of like reassurance in a relationship. Mm. It's useful for me. Like I need to be told I'm attractive or whatever it is. Yeah. Right. This I'm saying this because this has happened to me. Like one of my exes, he told me this. It's great that he told me that. Like, this
I don't
would be
care for it.
I didn't love it. Honestly.
I don't love when men are demanding compliments, and I don't know whatever that misogyny is. But I get compliments. You don't.
But that's what I mean. Is like, I think there's a difference. Like, there's a way of doing that where it's like, I've decided this is a need that I want to share because I think it'll be helpful in the relationship. And if it's something I'm like, yeah, it's easy to just say like, you look good right now or whatever.
Is it?
Right. Yeah. But if you're asking for reassurance in a relationship, then you have to believe it when you get it.
Yes.
Oh my God. Yes. Thank you. Men will like want me to do the thing. And I'm like, yeah, of course. Of course. I'm happy to do that. And then I do it and they're like, you're lying. That's not real.
You don't even feel that.
Yeah. Or like believing it for that moment, but not being able to apply it broadly. So then they have to hear it every hour.
Yes.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, she told me that yesterday, so I can assume it's happening today.
Yes. Yeah. And now it's on you, dude. Yeah. Like now it's on you to work on whatever the thing is that makes you not believe it.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is related too. I feel like these people who are constantly sharing how they're feeling with everyone, the problem is now there's no space for my emotional whatever.
Yeah.
My emotional state in this conversation is not welcome.
No. Yeah.
Because yours is so dominant.
Yes.
Like it's like if somebody comes up to me, I let's say I make a joke that makes somebody feel bad. Mm-hmm. There's a version of that where you go, hey, that joke made me feel bad. And I go, oh man, I'm really sorry. And it's over. Yeah. There's another version where you go, when you that joke made me bad. And you're like mad at me and you're upset and you're like, you're putting all of this, then I am not allowed to then go, hey, the way you're acting about it is making me feel bad.
Right.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Now I have to be this like vessel for your emotional
And now
needs.
My stomach hurts all the time.
And now my stomach hurts and I want to go home, but I can't because now I'm worried that if I go home, you'll be like, and then she just left.
Yeah. Yeah.
First she pissed me off and then she left.
Yeah.
That's something I always struggle with when someone reacts like this, like emotionally just like that to me. As though I had bad intentions.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's hard because it's like, there's always this, like, on the one hand, I want to defend myself because I'm like, you know, I'm not doing that. And
because then
I'd
be a monster.
And why would you view me like that?
You know me. Yeah.
Yeah. But then on the other hand, you're like, not supposed to get defensive.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, how am I supposed to remind you that you're viewing me through a negative lens?
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. And that's part of the problem is like, why suddenly
you've been backed into a corner by an emotionally dysregulated man.
Like, you're right. I'm bad.
You know what this reminds me of? I was raised in a very don't make excuses environment, both my family and my I went to a very difficult school and there was this like narrative of like, don't make excuses.
Yeah.
And people would say that to me so much.
Same. Mm-hmm.
And I found out I talked about this already, but I found out like 2 weeks ago that I'm dyslexic. And I'm thinking back on these, like I would be trying to explain something and people would go, don't make excuses. And I would be like, no, yes. I'm trying to tell you I can't read this.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to make an excuse. I'm trying to explain why I'm not getting it and you're not allowing me to. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's the same thing where then I try to explain my side of the thing and it goes, and they go, well, you're not hearing me.
Yes.
You're being defensive.
Yes.
You're not allowing
me. Exactly what you said.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to, and now I'm trying to keep my side of the street clean and tell you, and I'm literally, the thing I'm trying to do right now is tell you that I'm still your friend.
Yes.
I'm trying to say that I am your friend and I was not being malicious and that what your brain is telling you is happening isn't happening, but you're not letting me.
Yeah.
So now you're going, don't be defensive, don't make excuses. And it's like, buddy, I'm not.
I got such a good coping mechanism for this. So I'm famously a little Al-Anonic, a little bit of a codependent.
Andrea Al-Anon.
I mean, it's really in there. And so I'll have like a codependency freak out every once in a while when I'm like, I did everything for and or I'm making up stories in my head that someone is like actually has it out for me or doesn't like me and is making it up or whatever. So it's low self-worth stuff. It's stuff that's like coming from inside the house.
Yeah.
So I used to like just absolutely be held hostage by this and start being like shitty and weird and mad towards the person. And then I heard this thing in one of my meetings that was like, okay, imagine your emotions are like a word processing document. And every once in a while, when you spell the word wrong, the little red line goes underneath it to remind you that you spelled the word wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe the intense feelings that you're having right now are you spelling the word wrong.
Yeah.
And let's just wait a day until we can really have, we can be calmer and then like examine it. And I feel like these emotionally dysregulated people are like, I'm unhappy. This is true. And it's like, maybe you're spelling the word wrong.
This is true. I'm reacting to it right now.
And you're actually behaving poorly right now. And you're not the victim of this situation.
Yes.
But it takes like pacing to realize that.
And it takes work.
Yes.
And that's what we're saying these people aren't doing.
Yeah. Like, they're missing the part where they're like, I need tools to deal with this because my automatic behavior is to just rage.
Yes.
Yeah. It gives very like person who went to therapy for 6 weeks and I was like, I got it.
Yeah.
like, no, you don't have it.
Yeah.
You learned the name of that feeling.
Yeah.
And that's it. Mm-hmm. You didn't learn, you know what I, you learned to say when you do that, it makes me sad.
Yeah.
You didn't learn how to then just fucking be, sometimes you have to fucking be sad.
Right.
When you did that, you made me sad. And so I'm right.
Right.
Because I felt it and said it.
Yes.
The other thing too, I mean, as you know, men have especially been encouraged to share more. And I do think that's good.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's good for them to try and be more in tune. But I do think because they're the ones newer to it, it tends to be them more often.
Yeah, I agree.
They think they can just do that first part.
And it's like another way for men to monopolize the space and the they're like monopolizing the emotional space. And like every conversation only has room for so much emotional turmoil and you sucked it all up and I don't get any of it. You know what I mean? I don't get to then go, I'm actually feeling anxious because you're yelling at me.
Because
you sucked up all the all the fucking I feel bad in
and
the
maybe
room.
Maybe this wasn't the night that I had planned for myself.
Yeah.
Yes.
And yeah, you're my friend, but you do this every night.
Maybe
this.
I was trying to chill.
You do this every single time. And if you are like, hey, calm down, now you're being like a misogynist or you're being like men's
your
feelings aren't valid.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, your feelings are valid, but let's
cut down the
amount that we dump on this.
Yeah.
And they dump on women
way more
almost exclusively because we have this warm and fuzzy thing that they think we're there about me. And I'm not about me.
And like when men say something mean,
I have something really to tell you.
When men say something mean, it like doesn't mean anything to them because they're busting balls,
you
know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then if I say something in the same vein of mean, it's like, what did that mean?
Yeah.
Oh,
why
my
did you
God.
Say? And it's like, I'm just playing the game, brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're good.
Yes.
We're all chilling. We're trying to have fun and be whatever. Yeah.
What is it? Soft men make bad times? Or is that quote? Fuck, I'll have to
hard times, maybe. Yeah, yeah, sounds a little more.
Yeah. Keep going, Brittany. Times. You had a.
Well, related to the like, men tend to do this more to women and they think we're all like open and accepting. Mm-hmm. This isn't the emotional stuff, but I have a knack for conspiracy theorists just yeah. thinking that I'm there to listen and that I'm on board. Uh-huh. Yeah. So many times, I feel like it's less lately, like maybe I'm putting less of that out there, but I've had this happen so many times, especially when I first moved to New York. I think because I was trying to meet more people.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like at these horrible open mics. So there was more of these like crazy guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're just like attracted to me. They think, like, not physically, like they think I'm there to be like, yes, I understand. Yeah. I'm on board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This guy at a mic, we were talking about like problems. And I was just there early. I didn't want to talk to him.
Yeah.
But I was there 30 minutes early because I used to think you had to show up early.
Hilarious.
For a mic.
Hilarious.
And we were talking about like science and how things can go wrong and you can use data to say what you want. Like if you're, you know, using it for
bad. Yeah, you're like a
purposes.
Data scientist.
Famously. I have an actual background.
You have a PhD. Yeah. We can tell the people.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. You're a doctor.
Yeah.
And I realized he got on stage and started talking about conspiracy theories and not in a funny way, like in a here's what I believe.
Yeah. Sure.
And as he was up there, I realized he thought everything I was saying was
supporting.
Yeah.
And then after the mic, he's like, hey, I thought you might be interested in this blog that I wrote, like my blog.
Oh, no. When you're getting a link, you've made a mistake.
I open it. He's saying things like the Holocaust isn't real.
Oh,
it's like
no.
the craziest. And like the Parkland shootings are fake.
Oh, my God.
Like he got from me saying, yeah, data can be manipulated. He went from that to him being like, oh, she thinks all these things.
Yeah.
As well.
It's almost like it doesn't really matter who's talking to them.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of this happens because men think women are stupid. Mm-hmm. It's like, would you say all this shit to another man thinking that he might be able to be like, well, I actually know a lot about World War II because they do.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I can like, I can talk about, I have actual like whatever statistics or whatever history on my side, and they think we're all going to be like, I never thought of
that.
By the way,
ooh, enlightened.
Wait, you mean to tell me it never happened? I never looked into it. And by the way, I didn't look into it because I just believe that it happened.
And by the way, I know a lot about World War II. Okay, yeah,
nice.
So if you want to engage with me, if you mess with a bull, you get the horns, baby.
I feel like World War II was all I was taught in history.
Yeah,
yeah. It feels
like
a huge.
And civil rights.
It was a big, yeah.
Yeah,
those are like the two main.
Those were the two
like
big ones.
I mean, it's good we were taught all that, but truly, it feels like 80% of history.
Yeah,
was that.
Same.
And 80% of conversations I have
gonna,
with men.
I'm gonna say this, and sorry. I literally, to a gun to my head, couldn't tell you what happened in World War One.
Yeah. True.
I have no idea.
The only thing I think might be important is that Franz Ferdinand was shot.
I think
is
that was
right.
Was that
the
I
Ottoman
thought that was World
Empire.
War Two?
Rasputin.
Is it two?
I think Franz Ferdinand was two.
And we'll never know.
Damn it. That was the one thing I thought I might know.
World War One, I had nothing on.
I got nothing on
I don't even know who was involved. I think everyone based on the name.
Everyone was involved. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
But I have no fucking clue.
Man, I gotta redo some of this stuff. Well, you gotta revisit.
The next pod, we'll do a little World War One breakdown.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll come with articles.
Dude pod.
We do have
me getting tricked into thinking it didn't happen.
Yeah, you're like, what the fuck?
Me reading that guy's blog.
We do have to go, but
I'll
read the quote. Hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men. And weak men create hard times.
Yeah.
Boy, are we at the back end of that fucking equation.
And it's okay to be an emotionally soft, vulnerable man, but you can't make
you
it my problem.
You gotta
no,
make
no,
it my
no.
problem.
No.
It's emotionally strong to fix.
Yes.
To fix the things that make you triggered. Mm-hmm. It is weak. To ask
to
me
vomit.
To.
Yes, correct.
And to never try and do it yourself.
Yeah.
Yes.
You can ask me for help, but you can't ask me to do it.
Yeah.
No.
Sing it, sister.
Also, you can't ask me for help like my boyfriend can.
Right. Well, Brittany, plug away.
Yeah.
Oh,
where
yes.
can people
Thank
find
you.
Your special?
The special is going to be on my YouTube, Bertonis Cardwell, 8 o'clock, October 21st. This has probably already been recorded. You're not releasing tomorrow.
The special's
not
out.
Releasing tomorrow.
The special's out.
Yeah. Special's out. Go watch it.
It's on my YouTube. It's called Waving Bag of Trees. And please watch it, share it, tell your friends, play it on mute. I don't know.
Play it on full volume.
Play it on full volume. And then the next day, play it on mute while you clean.
Yes.
Stuff like that.
Loop
That'd
it on
really
mute
nice.
After you watch it.
Yes. Tell your friends to watch it. And thank you guys for being there laughing at Mike.
Yeah, try to identify me and Lizzie fucking losing it.
Yeah.
Lizzie, where can they find you? Follow you.
Follow me on Instagram at Lizzie Cassidy. Everything you could possibly want from me is in the bio, is in the link in the bio. And come to my show every Wednesday at 9 at The Gutter, Comedians You Should Know.
Andrea Comedy 69 across all platforms. Subscribe to our YouTube, Respectfully Pod. Good night.
Like actually,
but
though.
Actually, though. And comment. Thank you.